In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This first Sunday of our Lenten season provides us a meditation on the reality of temptation. Temptations set before us and the power thereof. But as is such in sacred scripture, there is much more that is happening than just the reality of the Lord's success in overcoming the temptations set before him. But the reality of temptations is that they do happen. Satan does come to us. And is often the case, he often increases, if you will, the temptation that he sets before us. As he does with our Lord, so he does to each of us. Starts small and continues to spin more and more lies, lest we become confused by the first offering and accept the third or the fourth, whatever it might be. Of course, he is the author of lies. He offers to give to God all the kingdoms of the world, but they're not his to give. They never have been, nor will they ever be. And yet, such is the fallacy and the power of temptation, is that it beguiles and it blinds us. It sets before us things that are not of us, things that do not belong to us, and somehow convinces us that we can possess them. The Lord, of course, resists temptation. He does so precisely because of the intimate relationship that he shares with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The second person of the Blessed Trinity has come and he has made his dwelling among us, all things with us except for sin. And so he undergoes temptation to show the power that God gives to us to resist temptation. This is truly what we should take away and contemplate this first Sunday of our Lenten journey. The temptations will be there. They will come to us. But we do not have to succumb to the temptations. God gives us the power, if we are in intimate relationship with him, to resist the lies that are told to us. To keep our eyes open, wide, and bright to the grace and the power of God. This is not an easy task. But it never has been an easy task. And if we truly undertake this as if it is something that is simple and easy to accomplish, then we are already setting ourselves up for failure and maybe have already failed. Already in these first days of the Lenten season, I have found myself negotiating with God the disciplines that I undertook. And God, I'm sure, says to me, I really don't care what you do, as long as what you do, you actually commit yourself to. You can't go 2, 3, 4 days without already bargaining with me when you're the one who set these up in the first place. So do what you are going to do, but be committed to what you're going to do. That is true of all of us. To understand that this is serious business that we are embarking upon. And the only way for us to truly enter into intimate relationship with the Lord is to go into the desert. The question is always asked about consecrated religious and all the privations that they undertake. Why would one undertake all of these privations? Because it's the only way to truly live unto God. To strip oneself of all and anything that would stand in the way of us deepening our relationship with the Lord. Now, obviously, not all of us are able to divest ourselves of the things that we need in the world. But the degree to which we can train our souls not to be dependent upon material things, not to seek the adulation of men or the things of this world, the degree to which we can train ourselves to successfully do that is the degree to which we can better cooperate with the grace of God. Simply put, brothers and sisters, you're going to have to let go of things, and you're going to have to sacrifice, and you're going to have to die in order to live. It is that simple. If Lent for you is an exercise merely in your discipline, in your native talents, in your strengths, well, good on you, but that's not what this is about. Because it's not about your natural talents or your ability to be disciplined and obedient. It is about doing all these things in order to draw closer to the Lord. And as I exhorted you last week, so I will again. You must likewise be serious about the disciplines that you've undertaken and enter into them in such a way that you can cooperate both today and throughout these weeks that the Lord has given to us. If you're not serious, if you're not sure, if you're half committed, will God continue to love you? Of course he will. He is patient and forbearing, infinite in mercy, kindness, compassion, and love. But in the same manner, if you wonder why you're not progressing in the spiritual life, if you're wondering why you so easily succumb to temptations, if you're wondering, what must I do in order for God to hear me? The answer God has given you is already there. Go into the desert and strip yourself bare in order that I can be, I and I alone can be the only one who fills you up and gives you strength, that you rely upon me and no one or nothing else, that you find your strength and your power in me and in me alone. This has always been a hard undertaking for mankind, evidenced by the fact that Adam and Eve failed in the most pristine reality known to man at the time, but never outdone in generosity or mercy, compassion. The Lord comes to us. He provides for his son angels to assist him after he himself goes into the desert to intensify a relationship that was already intense and complete. If the Lord himself understood and undertook this drastic reality of 40 days, 40 nights in the desert in order to be with his Father, how much more so should it be for us as well? But let us also bear in mind that what drove the Lord to the desert, what drove the Lord to accept the Spirit that led him into the desert, was a deep and abiding love. He went out of obedience, written in love, forged in love, sustained in love. And so, as an old confessor of mine would always remind me, especially once I was ordained a priest, that all of my failings and all of my sins can be traced back to simply not loving as I should. I've chosen to love other things, myself or the world or the flesh or whatever it might be. I've chosen to love everything else except loving God as I know I should, because when I do that, I am then able to do all of the other things that God might ask of me. God will always be there for us, but we, brothers and sisters, must do our part. As St. Paul so beautifully reminds the Corinthians, and he does this throughout a lion's share of his writings, it doesn't matter what is swirling around us. It doesn't matter what's happening around us. And so, yes, there are lots of things outside of this world that make it difficult for us to live as we should. I oftentimes preach and put them before you for your contemplation. But I do that not that they might be stumbling blocks, only that you might know fully what it is that you are up against, and how much more then you need to rely upon the Lord for any success in cooperating with his grace. God does not want us to fail. Quite the opposite is true. God wants men to come to the knowledge of truth and through that to come to salvation. After all of this has been done in order that men might be saved. But we must do our part. And so our journey begins by privation, by absence, by stripping ourselves bare, by undertaking sacrifices out of the normal path, by embracing crosses as they are placed upon us, and if none are placed upon us, then going out and finding those crosses and willingly and joyfully taking them upon our shoulders. These are what these days of the Lenten season are about. So use them well and use them wisely. Seek not ease or comfort, but rather the hardships that will come. Because in truth, if you are linking these to the sufferings of our Lord, as St. Paul likewise reminds us, to die with Christ is likewise to live with him. The more I can suffer, the greater it is for me to be able to rejoice. I will put this thought into your head as well. A writing that came to me many, many years ago as a seminarian, an anonymous reflection on the Easter Vigil, which is still before us. But speaking about the Easter Vigil, this exhortation is to ask of all of us to truly make ourselves present and able to actually be at the Easter Vigil. Meaning what? If you limp along in the Lenten season, then maybe you don't need to be present at the Paschal banquet. If you easily excuse yourself from the disciplines and the sacrifices that you need to undertake during this Lenten season, then maybe you're not worthy to present yourself to rejoice in the new life that has been given to you. That may sound harsh,
Who am I to judge is the question that has been placed before us. Well, it's not me judging you. It is God who is setting this before you. God who is asking you to think, reflect, and take stock. And ask yourself, have I done enough to truly be worthy of that which God has done for me? The ultimate answer is no. We will never be worthy of the new life that has been given to us. But God asks so little of us. And even that little, we seem sometimes not able to give to him. And so, yes, mine is, in a sense, an exhortation. But it's an exhortation to me first and foremost, to live as I should. But then, by extension, for you to live as you should as well. The journey has begun. It begins in the desert for a reason, that we can empty ourselves so God can be the one to fill us up, that in our privations we look not to ourselves for food or strength, but look to God and to him alone to be the one who provides for us. And then as the Lord himself was able to resist, so we too will be able to resist. Scripture tells us in another place that Satan does return to him, and again he does, to tempt our Lord to turn away from who he actually is. Of course, again, the Lord is successful, and so it will be for us. He will come back to us again and again to try to tempt us away from God. But as long as we remain with him, steadfast, constant, disciplined, and poor, finding strength and power and riches in God, great things can indeed be done. This, brothers and sisters, is how the world is transformed. This is how we are transformed. And so, as we begin our journey, let us pray for grace and strength to be faithful to the disciplines that we have undertaken, knowing that as the Lord strips us bare, that we allow him to fill us up. To die with the Lord gives us strength. And in the power of the grace of God is the strength we need to resist any and all temptations. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.